Today's episode of Daily DVR dives into Veronica Mars is sponsored by our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com. Go to Cufflinks.com now and use code DVR20 to save 20% off your order, no minimum. That's right, the whole shebang, baby. DVR20, use it. You need a belt, you need cufflinks, you need ties, you need like a pocket square. Come on, look good. Elevate your style when you walk out the door in the morning. Go to cufflinks.com/DVR today. They have everything you need, and they got a great blog over there too that'll help you if you have an event coming up. So go over to cufflinks.com/DVR today. Welcome back, everyone, to Daily DVR Does Veronica Mars. My name is Axel. My co-host is the wonderful and amazing Ken, and we have a special guest today, the equally amazing and wonderful Sean. You can find out more about us at DVRpodcast.com. Just finished covering Bachelor in Paradise. I'm covering Mindhunter with Heath. We're going to be doing Watchmen and The Mandalorian. And this is our podcast where we're going to talk about all of Veronica Mars. Ken and I finished covering the entire series. Our last episode was the final episode of season 4. And as we had been talking about before, Sean is the person who worked with me at World of Video. And one day he said to me, you should check this out, this Veronica Mars. And I remember talking about it with him. I know he's a huge fan. So we're going to have a wide-ranging discussion. We're going to kind of start with the end of season 4, go in from it for there, see what we discover. So I just want to first say hello to Ken. Ken, how are you doing?
I'm doing really good. I'm excited to talk to Sean. I'm excited to kind of talk about in general about the series. And I think it's fair to say all three of us really love it or we wouldn't be here. So I'm really excited to just have a wide ranging discussion about the entire series to date and just go from there.
Awesome. Well, it's always great to hear your voice, pal. And we want to welcome Sean Gallagher. This is his first ever podcast. He is a film and TV expert. This guy taught me so much. So listen to him when he speaks. Well, you don't have a choice. It's a podcast. Sean, hello. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Before I get started, I just want to say, back when I did work with Axel at the video store, we knew him there as Bill.
That's
so
true.
So if I call him Bill at some point, that's why.
That is true because that is my government, as people say. The W stands for William, and my name is Bill. So you can happily call me Bill. And when you do, I'm harking back to those days when I would be sitting around doing nothing and I'd hear from behind me, Bill. And I'd look behind and I'd say, Sean, I swear I'll shelve those videos in like 2 seconds. I was zoning out, buddy. And because let me tell you, just as a side note, Sean was one of the best people I've ever worked with. The guy was always working. And the reason why I love working with Sean, I think we both work so well together, is because we loved working at World of Video. We love talking to people. We love talking about movies. I can't remember a couple issues with, you know, different employees for not working or whatnot. And I'm sure Sean could agree with that. But in general, it was so fun. And your love of things and the way that you invest your heart into it is something that really why I immediately connected to Veronica Mars too. So let's start out, Sean. Let's ask, what did you think having watched this whole series and being a fan from the beginning, and I know you love it, how did you react to season 4 specifically? We can get to Logan's death. This is all spoilers here, but what's kind of your you know, like a brief intro to your feelings on season 4?
Okay. Well, I liked the season overall with some reservations, although if I had to do it over again, I would have watched it one episode at a time, maybe the way you guys did, instead of binge watching it. Because as you may remember, although Hulu said they were going to drop the season on July 26th, they actually dropped it a week early. Yeah. And that was the week of the hottest weekend in New York City and the surrounding boroughs. So I just decided to stay in and binge on it. And I'm not sure that was the best way to watch it. But after I did that, I watched the season again, this time an episode at a time. And that made me appreciate it a little more. So the big question, of course, is Logan's death. And I know a lot of my friends were unhappy about that, to say the least, because they were Veronica Logan shippers. And I, on the other hand, was not. Not that I didn't like Logan as a character, but I just didn't think that that wasn't the reason why I was watching the show, the two of them being together. And while I'm going to miss them as a character, and I'm going to miss Jason Doring as an actor on the show, because I always thought he was very good on it, I do think that the show did need to move on, I guess. And Logan dying, although very harsh, you know, that was a signal of a new direction for the show and for Veronica.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I think you and I, Ken was a Veronica Logan shipper. And I did kind of get there at the end because, really surprisingly to me, because of the change in Logan's character and the way they wrote that. And I thought they did a great job of... it was kind of like almost the Walking Dead syndrome when someone finally turns the corner or makes a change in their character is when they're going to get killed off. And I mean, that's kind of standard for storytelling in general, you know, the person kind of completes their arc. But in here it served itself well. And yeah, I agree with you. I think it serves a good way to go forward. And it didn't at all really stain it for me. And I like what you said about binging versus one by one. And Ken, I really am glad that we did it the one by one method. It really, in the end, having the opportunity to really look at each episode and see how it's growing was something that you don't get in this streaming age and something I kind of miss.
I agree with you. I think on one hand, the storytelling became leaner in season four, but on another hand, it became much denser in season four. And so the way that you and I watched it, often with like a week or more between episodes, really allowed me to digest each episode, both thematically and narratively. It allowed me to watch each episode often multiple times before I watched a new episode. And it really allowed it to like seep into my pores, yeah. Which with a kind of a show like this, it's kind of heightened stylistically. And you and I talked about this all season, Axel, where it felt like Rob was fully embracing the show's noirish roots that he kind of skirted around a little bit when it was on network television, even though it was still pretty noirish. But here in season four, he seemed to fully embrace kind of the roots of the storytelling. And so I agree. I think watching it, and some shows I think are helped by binging. Other shows and other formats are maybe not helped. And I think you sort of have to feel it out as you go along.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's interesting to note that, you know, like the new Disney streaming service is going to be week by week.
Yeah.
I think Apple might even, this Apple TV Plus. So people are kind of returning to that. And if you think about it, especially in the case of Veronica Mars, and I wanted to ask you about this, Sean, because you kind of have your finger on the pulse there. The way that they released it that week early, I think it ended up harming the show. I don't really think it ended up helping it. I think that it just kind of made it added to the noise of the show instead of letting it have a rollout and letting people, oh, they knew it was coming. And it just kind of like, there wasn't much of a, it was kind of released. And, you know, we tweet about it, we talk about it, but it didn't get the big critical acclaim that some of these other shows go. And I know it's hard because of there's so many shows, but do you think that it hurt getting released like that, Sean?
I don't know the answer to that. I do know that, you know, as I said, there was a lot of reaction against Logan's death. Yeah. You know, right now there's apparently, I don't know if it's still active, but there was a petition started on change.org to bring back Logan.
Wait, were they also going to rewrite season 8 of Game of Thrones and Logan is in it?
Yeah. So that was a reaction. But as far as dropping it a week early, that I don't know about. And I do think, you know, I read, you know, some mixed reviews of the season and some, you know, good reviews of this season. My guide during this season to pick up on anything I might have missed when I was watching it, and also to keep in mind when I watched the season again, an episode at a time, was the AV Club, which is the spinoff from The Onion that covers pop culture, including TV. They reviewed each episode. And the reviewer liked the show a lot for the most part. And, you know, I'm pretty much in line with her. Although, as I said, I do have a couple of major reservations about this season.
I'd love to hear them. Let's get into it.
Okay. Well, for one thing, I missed Mac. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, it's not just for the tech stuff, you know, obviously not having her around to look up things on the computer meant that they had to find a creative way to do that, which they did. But, you know, I missed her feedback on things. You know, I know having Keith be sort of joined at the hip with Veronica in this case did sort of help with that, but it's still Miss Mac. And more importantly, Mac is like Wallace in that she's the normal part of Veronica's life. Because she's Wallace are the most quote unquote normal characters in Neptune, even though she does have some baggage about, you know, being switched to birth with Madison Sinclair and then what happened to her with Beaver in season 2. So having her gone, and I guess from what I've read, Tina Majorino didn't think that she was going to have much of a part in season 4 if she did come back. So that's why she begged off. But without Mac, I think the show suffered somewhat.
I do agree with you in the sense that had Mac been there, I think Rob could have played – that could have played more into the – will she or won't she have a normal life kind of theme that played all through season 4? Because had Mac been there, I agree with you, Sean, she could have been a part of that with Wallace, kind of the pull on the Veronica, you need to have a more normal life kind of direction that she was torn by. Like, will she, you know, settle down, get married, have kids, lead the semblance of a more normal, quote unquote, normal life. And Mac's presence could have helped play into that debate, that inner debate that Veronica was having. And it might have made it more powerful of a debate throughout the season had Mac's voice been included in those scenes. Yeah. So I definitely agree with you there. I think Rob probably did the best he could with still sort of covering that thematic ground that he wanted to cover all season with Veronica personally. But I do agree with you. Had Mac been there, it probably would have been a more powerful argument that Veronica was having all season.
Yeah, and it makes me think, like, where would have she fit in? And you could see her taking up, I mean, when you were talking about her looking things up on the computer, it reminded me of the one little mission they sent Maddie on to get the guy to hack for her, you know? So that was kind of like, I guess they were thinking, okay, we can kind of put someone else in that role. But I like the way that you put it on the emotional level for Veronica. And I think they had Nicole kind of play that part, right? And some of those scenes that they had in the bar and where that relationship was kind of more had, it added more to the overall story, right? Because it affected her thoughts on who the bomber was and what was going on, right? And what was going on with Big Dick. So again, that fed into the noir elements, the detective, and the main story rather than Veronica's life. And as I was reading things where Rob Thomas was talking about what he would want out of a season five, and we're going to talk about that, and it gets sprinkled in anyway, but one of the things he said was to kind of push it more towards that, right? And I think that maybe he just kind of couldn't, you know, you think there's so many characters. One of the things I did appreciate is that they didn't really shoehorn people, right? Like, it wasn't like all of a sudden, you know, the bomber was contacting Wallace for some reason, you know, like, because it was at this school just so they could get him in. So I do appreciate that. But I think you're right, Sean. She lacked that kind of female friend, you know, to talk to that was not a part of the mystery, right? That they could kind of live outside of it. What else did you find that you weren't too happy with?
Okay, well, before I get to that, I do want to say I agree with you about Nicole. And, you know, I like the character of Nicole, not just because she was well written, but also the actress who played her was on the first season of Killing Eve. And I liked her on that. Yes, so.
You're right. She was great.
Yeah. So anyway, my other main reservations about the show were, I don't know if you guys have read the two novels yet, the spinoff novels, the $1,000 Tamline and Mr. Kiss and Tell.
I read about half of the $1 Million Tamline. That was the first one, right?
$1,000 Tamline.
Oh, $1,000. I'm sorry. I read about half of that.
You know the... you know the recurring character who shows up in that novel, right?
I don't know if I remember because we were just about to I was rewatching and then I was like, okay, I'm going to wait to read the book because I started getting confused.
I don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't read the books, but there is a major recurring character who comes back in Veronica's life in the $1,000 Tamline. And while she wouldn't have fit in season four, or they, I should say, I'm not spoiling at all. while they wouldn't have fit in season four, it might have been nice if Veronica had just mentioned them once in a while, because I know the books were canon because the whole reason for Veronica and Weevil's feud in season four, it comes out of Mr. Kiss and Tell. To make a long story short, Keith convinced Weevil, after he was thankfully acquitted of menacing Celeste Kane in the movie, Keith convinces Weevil to try and sue the sheriff's department so that they can bring out all the corrupt things that they've done. And Weevil initially agrees, and Veronica is very much approving of this. But then by the end of the book, Weevil decides instead to settle with them and say, hey, you know, the sheriff's department, they're not that bad. I was led into this for the wrong reasons. And Veronica, to put it mildly, got very angry about that.
Yeah.
So while they cover that in season four very well, there are a couple other things from Mr. Kiss and Tell that I wish they would have dealt with a little more. Mainly that Marsha Langdon, the police chief, in Mr. Kiss and Tell, she runs against Dan Lamb and wins for sheriff. And she and Keith had a history together.
Hmm.
So I wish they had sort of dealt with that. I mean, it doesn't have to be a whole episode plot line, but I wish they would have mentioned that, you know, the fact that Keith and Marsha Langdon had a history together that might explain why, other than, you know, I'm the police chief, I'm going to solve this, I don't need a private investigator interfering with me, why she was so hostile.
You know, Sean, I'm going to pick your brain and ask you kind of a follow-up question based on what you've just been talking about the two novels, which, as you said, Rob has confirmed are canon within the kind of larger universe of Veronica Mars. So here's the question. If now, would you, as a fan and a lover of Veronica Mars, would you prefer them maintaining Neptune as a fictional universe with all of these kind of wide range of characters kind of coming in and out of the story of Neptune? Or do you think the story still works if he decides to go more the Veronica the loner in kind of her own noirish mystery story? Because usually in noir stories, the main character is a loner, and the cast of characters that would surround that loner would always be rotating and would be kind of dealt with unsentimentally at the end of the day. So if Rob decided it with a season five moving forward or more seasons to go more the loner route, do you think that hurts the story if Neptune isn't the center of the universe anymore?
Well, I think he can do both. I can't say I'm an expert on crime fiction, but there are two crime fiction writers I read regularly. One is Carl Hiaasen, and the other is Sarah Paretsky. Carl Hiaasen writes these comic crime novels that all take place in Florida. And Sarah Paretsky has a series of private detective novels with the main character is the private detective. Her name is V.I. Warshawski. Uh-huh. And almost all of her novels are set in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And her novels especially, you know, they have the shared universe of a lot of characters being in every novel and either helping her out some way or just being part of the universe. And yet at the same time, V.A. Warshawski is definitely a loner.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think both approaches together could fit, or it could be an either or, you know.
Yeah.
It's up to him, but I think the combination could work just as well as an either or.
Yeah. Okay.
Taking a little break from our Veronica Mars discussion to remind you to go to our presenting sponsor, Cufflinks.com, baby. Go to Cufflinks.com/DVR and use code DVR20. Get 20% off your order, no minimum. That's right, baby. It's all there for the taking. If you like NCAA, NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, Star Wars, Game of Thrones, Marvel, DC, they've got everything. Hey, man, they got new stuff for the Aladdin movie. It's amazing stuff. Check it out. Cufflinks.com has everything along with those classic styles that just look good. They're not all genre stuff. They've got the classic stuff too. So go to cufflinks.com/DVR and use code DVR20 today. One of the best parts about podcasting is getting to know the listeners and making new friends. And one of those friends is Andy. You may have heard me mention him before on one of our many podcasts. And Andy and his wife, Claire, are looking to adopt. So if you or anybody you know is considering adoption for their baby, please consider the loving family of Andrew and Claire. They're a home study approved adoptive family of three living on a farm in southern Minnesota with a dog, Barney, and two turtles. They're able to adopt from anywhere in the United States and would love to answer any questions you may have. To learn more about them, check out their Facebook page at Andrew and Claire Adopt or on Instagram at Andrew_and_Claire_Adopt. You can also email them at AndrewandClaireAdopt@gmail.com. So again, if you or anyone you know is considering adoption for their baby, reach out at AndrewandClaireAdopt@gmail.com. Thanks. I think so too. And I see what you're saying, Sean, about if you commit to canon things and a world, when the story happens next, regardless of whether that was in a movie, TV show, comic, novel, it's good to maintain that throughout. And to have the, one of the things is I noticed in this season, a pulling back on that in general. I don't think it was only from the book. I think that there were other things from the show or from the movie that they could have thrown in there in different scenes that they held back on a little bit. And I think maybe that could have to do with, again, this show is dealing with a format and a distribution that is new, right? And when coming on Hulu, maybe they just said like, let's do this like 60, 70% now, right? So we can actually bring in new people if they do want to come in new. Because I think in many ways, if you came into this season having never seen Veronica Mars before, I think you could watch this season. I really think you could. And I know it's hard to kind of think about that when you're so engrossed in it, but I really think you could.
Now, I get that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did like the shorter season because most of my favorite shows now are, you know, favorite shows of all time. I'm thinking of The Americans or The Wire. You know, they only had 12 or 13 episode seasons.
Yeah, definitely.
So I liked the shorter season, but, you know, maybe they could have done with one other or two other episodes to kind of include everything in. And that leads me to the final. Oh, and one other canon thing from the novels I should mention. Mr. Kiss and Tell is when Logan had told Veronica about hitting rock bottom in his life before he joined the military.
Oh, okay.
And then also that's when he decided to get Veronica a dog, which they've named Pony, because remember during the show, during the first couple seasons, whenever Keith's said he had a present for Veronica. Veronica would, in overly excited tone, say, a pony? So that's why they call it Pony. But my last major reservation about season four was the plot line about Penn being the second bomber. Not that I didn't think that they set him up as a bomber, because I thought they did, you know, with the story about him being the pizza guy that the frat guys that guy's mistreated, and you know, they set up all the ways that he had means to do it. And I do think Patton Oswalt, who, by the way, has not been on the show before.
Okay.
I do think he did a good job of it, but once they zeroed on him being the culprit after deciding that Big Dick was responsible for the first bombing, I think they sort of dragged it out too much as to finally him confirming that, oh yeah, I'm the bad guy this season. You know, I thought that whole thing where he tries to plant evidence on the other one of the murder heads.
Yeah.
I thought that was dragged out too much. I was like, okay, come on already. We're in the last episode. Okay, let's get to it.
Yeah, I could see that. I think, you know, and I think we talked about it. I see where you're coming from, but I also kind of like the red herringness, and I like the way that the show kind of sometimes purposely confuses itself. And I kind of like that in the last episode. So I don't agree, but I see your point there. And go ahead, Ken.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I was just going to say I agree with you, Axel, but I also understand where Sean's coming from. But I agree with you. I kind of agree with you for different reasons, though, Axel. I agree with you because I feel like the final episode brought home the notion that the Penn character loved to play elaborate games. And having the kind of switcheroo.
Oh, like a Joker character.
Yeah, kind of like a box within a box within a box.
That's his signature. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So I kind of, even though I see where Sean's coming from, I kind of feel like for me, it kind of cemented the idea that the Penn Ebner character liked these kind of baroque, ornate, kind of schemes, like a scheme within a scheme within a scheme, and kind of to his detriment, obviously, but like the whole idea that he would overplay a hand by once again trying to frame one last person and to throw suspicion off him. Yeah. So I kind of feel like that ended up playing more like that cemented his character in my mind. So now whenever I think of Penn, or if for some reason they show Penn again in the future, like if she goes to visit him in prison or he requests a visit with her, like now in my head, I'm always going to think, what else is he planning? Like what other contingency plan did he possibly set in motion like 3 years ago, which he's waiting to like come alive. So that kind of bait and switch thing that happened in the final episode, instead of frustrating me, it sort of kind of like I said, it kind of cemented his character.
Yeah. We kind of talked about her rogues gallery, you know, and the way that she went back and visited and imagining those people working together now with like Penn, you know. And that would be a kind of interesting direction for the show to go in. So I do think one thing I was going to say, I'm sorry, Sean, because I want to get back to one point you made, which I think I may have, we're talking about the end, but you did mention if they had let him be the bad guy earlier, which I think is an interesting idea because we've never really seen Veronica have to kind of go toe for toe with someone through knowing it was them. Do you know what I mean? Like almost like a heat type thing. And I could have seen that happening where they dispense with like, it's more of a drama between them. And I think that could have been kind of cool with this because it got a little personal there. And it would have been interesting if they had allowed him to expose himself earlier, then it could have been just a cleaner like battle at the end. Is that what you kind of meant?
I don't know. Although I do take Ken's point about, you know, him doing the whole Russian doll thing. You open up one box and that comes up another. But yeah, I mean, I just still, it just seemed like they were dragging the foot out. Now, after saying all this, you know, I do want to make it clear. I did like the season overall. I liked the new characters. Yeah. You know, I liked Clyde, of course. J.K. Simmons was very good at keeping you guessing about him. Yeah. And I liked, as I've said before, I liked Nicole, and I liked Maddie. I know a couple of my friends on a chat group we had on Facebook. They were not particularly pleased with her because they thought she should have emoted more. But I, you know, I thought she did well. And by the way, I know, Bill, you mentioned on the podcast that you watched a couple episodes of iZombie. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it at all because I'm not a big fan of zombies in general, but there's a lot of crossover between Veronica Mars and iZombie. Enrico Colantoni and Jason Doring have both been on iZombie. And Dawn Lewis, who played Marsha Langdon, was on iZombie. And the actress who played Maddie was also on iZombie. And Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who helped produce this season and wrote co-wrote the sixth episode, he was also on iZombie. So there's a real crossover here.
That's cool. And that's ending too, right?
No, it already ended.
Okay, yeah. Well, I think they're airing like the right. They finished. Did they? I don't know if they finished airing the final season.
They did.
They did. Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. So he's free. So, but I know Doring was on iZombie. I think he had a pretty big part on it at some point, didn't he? That's what I heard, and I liked it. I thought it was a good show. I think I ended up. I probably watched more episodes than I remembered, but it was, you know, I just didn't, I'm the same kind of way. The central plot, which is that she goes to a party and then she gets bit by, it's kind of funny. It's like the party boat and she gets bit by a zombie and nobody knows that she's a zombie, but she works at a morgue so she can eat bodies. So it's like, and then she starts kind of solving. It's really a mystery thing too. But the zombie part was kind of what on Sean, me too. I was just kind of like, I'm not that into the zombie thing, but it was really good. But that's cool that it just shows that people love working with Rob Thomas and he creates that kind of company atmosphere. Where people can easily jump on to another show. And I wouldn't be surprised to find out if there were any also, you know, just production people who did hair and makeup, you know what I mean? Who jumped over to Veronica Mars so they could work with him, you know, as we often see in films. So that's awesome. And that gives me hope again, that I hope there is a season 5. I mean, I really did enjoy this season overall. I thought that it was a great way to, and some of the things that you describe, which were kind of shedding some of the older stuff or not giving it as much attention, is kind of necessary. And when I was first reading what Rob was talking about and moving into season, what his whole hopes were for moving into season 5, there was a part of me that you do miss and you say, yeah, maybe there's a way he can do it where Neptune is as much of a central part as the mystery. But I also do think that after so many seasons where I think he felt and writers involved with it felt they had to focus on the kind of teenage soap aspects, that it's kind of gratifying to have a shorter season. And even in a season 5, even if Veronica goes off, and gosh, even if we don't see that much of Keith, I would think I could see, I'd be willing to take that journey with them. where she does create totally like new memories. And this idea of the loner that could be so solidified after Logan dying, right? Really becomes the central aspect of the show. And maybe we only see them here and there in an 8-episode season, but we get an awesome mystery that really gets into Veronica then maybe wanting to go back to Neptune and make it better after having both given up on it, right? It's symbolic. So I'm just kind of writing a season 6 now too.
I do get what you're saying, although yeah. I will say that, and all the seasons and the movie stress this, that the most important relationship in Veronica's life is the one she has with Keith.
Yes.
Maybe she won't rely on him as much going forward, but now, especially that, we find out he's all better, he's still someone that she can lean on and, help ground her in a way, along with Wallace as well. Now, I do want to get back to one point here, getting back to Maddie. When she sees Alonzo decapitate her and the other guy decapitate Big Dick Casablancas. And by the way, Bill, you mentioned that you remember Clifton Collins Jr., the guy who plays Alonzo from Westworld. Where I remember him from is he also played a cartel hitman in the Steven Soderbergh movie Traffic from almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, when Maddie saw that, again, it made me think of Carl Hiaasen's novels, because as a recurring character in those novels called Skink, he's the ex-governor of Florida until he one day resigned and basically walked away without saying goodbye. And now he lives in the wild and then shows up to help people in certain times. And there's one novel where he says something to the effect of, let nature take care of itself. Justice may not be done the way you want it to be done, but it will get done. And that's something I think was going through Maddie's head when she saw Big Dick get killed like that, okay, he's not called to account from any of the authorities for what he did for murdering her dad, but he got what he deserved, which is a real dark place for the show to go. So I do give it credit for that.
You know what? I mean, if I could write any part of season 5 or onward, I think it would be interesting long-term storytelling wise is if Maddie ultimately became a dark mirror image reflection of Veronica. Maybe a less, like, not a marshmallow, like we all know Veronica is underneath it all. But what if Maddie is like the non-marshmallow version of Veronica?
She's a stale marshmallow.
That's right. Like petrified. What if she, like, what if it turns out that she's like dead inside and therefore maybe a little sociopathic? And maybe willing to do things that Veronica would never even entertain. So what if she turns out to be like the dark version I mean, the whole story is dark, but like, but you know what I'm saying? Like the dark version of Veronica.
The faith to Veronica's Buffy.
Exactly. Exactly, Sean. That's exactly where I was going. So I always loved the idea of like the doppelganger, like the dark reflection of our main character. And it would be interesting if Maddie ultimately became that dark reflection of Veronica.
Ooh, and they could also have that this girlfriend that Keith mentions in the last moments of the episode here in the finale.
Yeah.
He ends up messing up with Maddie because he's not helping her or providing that community for her, kind of in a way making similar mistakes like he made with Veronica's mom, and then he can get involved in it. Ooh, I like this. Oh man. Ooh, this is good stuff. But I like what you said about Maddie. I'm sorry, Sean. I just wanted to say, Ken, that what you said about Maddie about getting going dark and especially that scene.
Yeah.
And overall, I do think that they gave her a light touch. And I can see why people would think, oh, she wasn't as emotive or the character really didn't have an intense watchability at times. She was a little sulky, but after what she went through. But I think that for me, I like that because they could have beat you over the head with the Veronica 2.0 stuff. Yeah. And that the fact that they didn't gives credence to what you're saying, Ken. It gives her the opportunity to go in a different direction to me.
Like, I find it hard to believe that would have been Veronica's reaction had she saw Aaron Eccles decapitated. Like the way Maddie reacted to seeing Big Dick being beheaded, had Veronica been in her place at that age and it had been Aaron Eccles, even though Veronica has every reason in the world to hate Aaron Eccles for what he did to her, I don't think that would have been her reaction had she seen him brutally murdered.
She would have felt bad for Logan and felt that a father had been killed, and there would have been that's a great point, yeah. Yeah, that's true, because there was no consideration. And you know what? I will say, Dick never came back. Little Dick never came back to, has nobody left in his family anymore. Poor guy.
He really is an orphan now. He's going to have to talk. Right, and he lost Logan, too.
Yeah, oh my gosh. That's the real tragedy of this season.
Right.
Is Dick, right? I wonder if this is going to be in the new web series that they're going to do with him. but you know what? One thing I wanted to say is if they do somehow go away, one thing that I always thought would be fun, and the streaming services really give an opportunity to do fun stuff like this. Like the people who do it the best for me are the Breaking Bad crew and Vince Gilligan and all those guys, where they just all work together. They go from Breaking Bad to Better Call Saul. Oh, it's a joke. No, let's really do it. And then it becomes the best show on TV, in my opinion. And then you go to make it a movie. Like, wouldn't it be fun if they did like a 6-episode just Keith? I would like that. I could watch that, where we really dive into his character. So I understand where you're coming from, Sean, that I don't really want to leave everybody behind, because I think part of this season too was Veronica realizing that it's family and love and the people she has, even though I feel like the end was gearing more towards her still being so hurt and, you know, not, it's good that Keith is around, but I still see that separation there, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, in theory, I'm interested to see how they go forward with this, but I'll just take it as it comes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. What do you want to discuss anything else, Ken? Did you have any other things you want to discuss for season 4? Do we want to kind of talk about this series in general and any kind of notes? Or I'd also actually, you know what? I'd like to ask Sean. This would be a good entry to kind of talk about this series, is you gave us in your notes too, kind of your first experiences with Veronica Mars, and they kind of involve online and stuff. Do you want to kind of go through that with us?
Sure.
Cool.
Okay. So, whereas you guys picked up the show later. I actually did watch the show in real time from the beginning, and I normally am not lucky enough to catch something that becomes a zeitgeist or cult show from the beginning and stick with it all the way. You know, I am ashamed to admit, you know, that things like on Buffy, I didn't watch until the start watching until the summer after the first season. And this is my biggest shame, even though I had HBO at the time and didn't get to The Wire until season four, I think, when one of our coworkers at World of Video, Eric, pushed me into watching it. But Veronica Mars, I read the reviews and I liked it. I liked the hook of the show. You know, I had been a fan of Buffy for the first few seasons anyway, and this sounded like it was inspired by it without being a ripoff of it. And I had liked Kristen Bell in a movie that came out the same year that Veronica Mars started. And by the way, we should point out that the day we're recording this today, it's actually 15 years to the date, on this date, that the first episode of Veronica Mars aired.
That's awesome. Yeah, we were. I said that on Facebook because it's also Lost. It was, yeah, it's 25 Friends, like
20 The West Wing.
Yeah, and like 35 Family Ties or something.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I had seen Kristen Bell in a movie that year called Spartan. It's a David Mamet movie where she plays a kidnap victim and Val Kilmer is the government agent who tries to rescue her.
Yes.
And it's not a role with a lot of dimension to it, let's just put it that way, but I thought she brought out a lot in it. And whatever you think of David Mamet, his dialogue is very stylized, and I thought she handled it well. So I thought, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I liked the pilot a lot. And even more importantly, I liked the second episode, Credit Where Credit's Due, even though it had Paris Hilton on it as sort of stunt casting forced on him by the network. And then, you know, I really liked the first season, so and I even became involved in trying to get the network to renew it for a second season. And that was through, as I mentioned in the notes, and as you brought up, Axel, in one of the previous podcasts, Television Without Pity.
Yeah. I remember, Sean, you were like the first person I ever knew that did anything having to do with TV on the internet.
Right.
When I first started podcasting, I thought of you, dude. I was like, man, remember when Sean was interacting with people, and I saw it as a place where other people who I could trust would be talking about TV and stuff. Because, you know, I mean, everyone now, the internet is what it is. But even 10, 15 years ago, people were kind of like, you know, you'd hear like, oh, some internet weirdo. Well, now we're all internet weirdos, right?
Right. Yeah, that website, which actually started out as Dawson's Rap, because two friends were ragging on Dawson's Creek, and then they decided to expand the cover other shows, some of which they liked. And it became Mighty Big TV. And then I think there was a domain issue. So then they changed it to Television Without Pity. And they were recapping the show. And they each show that they recapped had their own individual forums. And in those forums, including the Veronica Mars one, that we talk about each episode in an individual thread. We talk about the characters. We speculate about where the show is going, both with spoilers and without. And we plan things like trying to pressure UPN, which carried the show at the time, to renew the show. I wasn't involved in this, but I believe there was a thing of a lot of people raised money to fly a helicopter by the UPN offices with a banner saying, please renew Veronica Mars, or something to that effect. And during the first season, there was a fan event at a department store in Midtown Manhattan. I want to say it was Macy's, but I could be wrong, where the main cast showed up and signed things and said hello to people. And then the big fan event took place during season two. There was a woman on the forums. Her name was Erin. Her forum name was Airy Fairy. She lived in Austin, Texas at the time. I haven't been in touch with her in a long time, so I don't know if she still lives there. But she was friends with a manager at the Alamo Draft House. Have you guys heard of that theater?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. So apparently they got to talking about the show, and they initially decided they were going to have a marathon of episodes at the theater and charge admission, and people would come flying in from all over to come watch it. But Warner Brothers, who produced the show, put the kibosh on that. So after some negotiation, what they eventually decided was during the second weekend in January of 2006, which was in the middle of the second season, they would have on Saturday and Sunday evenings, Rob Thomas and some of the cast, including Kristen Bell, Jason Doring, and the guy who played Sheriff Don Lamb in the first couple seasons, Michael Muni, be part of a Q&A. And they'd show clips of episodes up to that point. And then they premiered the 11th episode of the season, Donut Run, the episode where Duncan runs off with his baby with Veronica's help. And that was premiered a couple weeks before it actually showed on TV.
Huh.
And they had other things like on Friday night, I know there was a music festival where a few bands who had had their music featured on the show, not big bands, you know, things like the Wright Flyers, the Fire Marshals of Bethlehem, David Garza, they played. There was a little mini festival at a bar where they played those songs plus some of their own songs. And I remember a couple covers. And then on Sunday morning before I left, I know a bunch of us who were staying in the hotel had a mini marathon of our own of episodes. And Michael Muni dropped by for that. Mm-hmm. And then I know a lot of people were meeting up with Kristen Bell and Rob Thomas at a luncheon event on Sunday. I didn't get to go to that because I said I had to fly out. But
that's awesome. You know,
things like that.
It is so great. See, it's so great to remember this because mm-hmm. I think that, you know, we had, I mean, I know I had the experience with Lost of being a part of all this kind of stuff. And it even happened before that, you know, even though it's about the same time here, they're talking about they premiered at the same time, but that kind of fandom was growing. And when a show comes in so many incarnations, like Veronica Mars has, did it move, Sean? Like, are you still in contact with these people in like a different forum, or did some people move to Facebook, or like when this season came out, did you go back and talk to people about it that you had talked to back in season one, or that you might have even seen at these events? Are you still in contact with them at all?
Well, sadly, Television Without Pity is no more. They disbanded about 5-10 years ago or something like that, although you can still read the recaps on a website called brilliantbutcanceled.com /shows. But I do keep up with some of the people I remember from the Veronica Mars forums on Facebook. And as a matter of fact, we had one of those friends, her name is Kate. She went by the name of Sadie Kate on the forums. She started a chat group with all of the a lot of the Veronica Mars forum members on Facebook, and so we all talked about it after we all had watched the new season.
That's awesome. That is great, man. Because I know that if there was like a Lost thing, there'd be tons of people that I'd be talking about. Like when Game of Thrones comes back. Again and again and again, like it's gonna come back because they're gonna do like 18. You know, I was joking yesterday with somebody. I was like, you know, eventually HBO is just gonna be called GOT, and it's just gonna be all Game of Thrones. You know, it's gonna be like Barry in Game of Thrones world, The Wire, Game of Thrones. It's gonna redo everything. Game of Veep, Veep of Thrones. But that's great that you still get what so. Generally, how was the reaction of those people, Sean? How do you feel people felt about season four? Were they just happy to have it back? They love being in the world? Or did the Logan thing really piss a lot of people off?
The Logan thing did really piss quite a few people off, although there were some who did accept it for what it was doing. Even some people who were hardcore Michael Logan shippers. You know, I think the main difference is that when the show was on, you know, part of the whole thing, even though there were disagreements that came up as the show went into its second and third seasons, you know, I think that we were all very passionate about the show and we were all involved so much. And now, since it's been so long since it came on the air, that passion maybe has sort of not died down exactly, maybe, but sort of gone in a different direction. So it's not the same as it was when we were first excited and fans about the show.
Yeah. And I can see that also when you kill a character like Logan, who people kind of either loved him or hated him, which means that he mattered so much. And he of course mattered so much to the show, and the actor too, seemed to have a great connection with the fans. I remember especially during the movie, and we'll talk all about that too, but I just, it's interesting when things come back and people kind of ebb and flow, and it's just, you know, there's so many of these things now that last, I mean, 15 years is a long time.
Yeah.
You know, like, we take it for granted. We think about, oh, Star Wars, this and that. But this is like, you know, for our culture, that's like, there's a lot of things like that now. It's not just the big pillars that keep on going like that. And yeah, my experience has just been dipping in. When you told me to watch it, and then I think it was still airing, and think I watched season 3, and then when I heard that the movie was coming out, that's when I kind of got back in and rewatched and kind of became a bigger fan again, and even I think became really more of the fan that I am now, which is willing to watch and do all the podcasts, that I really fell in love with it more at that point, when I kind of remembered it. So maybe that'll happen for people too. You know, sometimes things have to quiet down a little bit. Yeah. And there's so much now that I could really see people who were fans of Veronica Mars not realizing, oh, there was a season 4. You know, there's so much TV now. That you think like in a, you know, a couple months, a year. That's why I haven't read anything. Usually they're flipping right on to shooting something, but I guess we'll see. I don't know. What do you think? This is a great stories about the fandom, Ken, right?
Yeah, it really is. And it's not only a great story about the fandom of Veronica Mars, but just a great story about fandom in general and kind of the genesis of genre storytelling that kind of started with Twin Peaks and the X-Files and then just sort of built from there as far as genre storytelling being accepted and eventually kind of morphing into the norm for like serialized storytelling, stuff like that, fandom with the advent of technology, just sort of kind of paralleling this new kind of accepted storytelling. It just kind of all dovetailed into itself, which in and of itself is an interesting story, but definitely talking about the kind of the fierce loyalty specifically to the Marshmallows, which I think is what most hardcore Veronica Mars fans refer to themselves as. Like, these are fans who went to bat for the show early on. Like Sean was talking about, there's a million stories about people calling the network, you know, jamming the operator lines for the network to try to get the next season greenlit. Because as we all know, like, you know, Axel, you know, Sean, every season was a struggle for this television show. Nothing was for sure. Rob never knew for sure. There was no carte blanche given to this television show. The ratings were always low in comparison to other television shows that were on at the time. So it was always a struggle to get this show, to keep this show on television. The fact that Rob got to do a season like season 2 isn't in of itself a miracle. Like, I mean, I know there are misgivings about season 2, but the fact that he was able to tell such a dense, audacious story kind of with very little what felt like compromises is in and of itself a miracle.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting to talk about kind of the background stuff of Veronica, because it seemed to affect the show itself in lots of critical ways. But I'm just, at the end of the day, the thing I loved about Veronica Mars from the time I started watching it in real time at the beginning of season 2, the season 2 premiere onward, and then I went back and kind of caught up with season 1 later, is the thing I like about any story that I love, which is that I felt like at the time, there was nothing else like it on television. I loved the nihilism. I loved the noirish roots of it. I loved the feeling like they were getting away with stuff on the television show. I loved the darkness of it. And I love Kristen Bell. Like, there aren't a lot of actors who can pull off that sort of dialogue. And she pulls it off beautifully and has done that throughout. So, you know, I still love that Veronica Mars feels different tonally than maybe anything else that's on television or ever been on television. Granted, I think the television scene has changed, so it doesn't quite feel as much like an outlier as it used to, but I still love its individual voice that it's always had.
Definitely, Ken. That is brilliant, brother. And you know what? This is a perfect time now to kind of wrap it up for this episode. We're going to come back and we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to start at season one. We're going to go through the seasons, kind of review the series, talk about it with Sean. This has been fantastic. Sean, I'm so glad you came on. Every time I podcast with somebody that I know or that I wanted to, and I'm like, why have I gone 11 years of podcasting without podcasting with Sean, I'm a moron because this is already one of the best podcasts I've ever done. This was amazing. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Ken. Sean, I'll let you just kind of say goodbye and any final thoughts you have as we go into the next episode, and then we'll go to you, Ken.
Well, I'm very happy that I was able to do this after, you know, the maneuvering that took place to find the time to do this. And I do look forward to talking more about the show and even maybe getting a little into the movie as well.
Yeah, definitely. And maybe by that time I can finish both books.
Well, let's hope.
All right, Ken, any final words for today, Bao?
You know, I think I'm just going to save it for the podcast. I mean, you've heard my voice a lot, people, over the course of the last few months talking about this show. But it has been here's what I will say. It's been great meeting you, Sean, and hearing your thoughts about the show that we all love and starting a kind of a different kind of dialogue with you about the show that we all love. And I look forward to continuing that in the next episode, especially talking about kind of the other seasons of Veronica Mars and the movie, kind of like the bigger Veronica Mars universe. So I look forward to that. But this was a great conversation specifically about season four and our thoughts about the fandom of Veronica Mars. And so I just look forward to continuing the conversation.
Yes. Awesome. And thank you everyone for downloading and listening and supporting us throughout this journey. It will continue, baby. We'll be back soon. We're going to stop here and we're going to schedule the next one for you. So thanks for listening. Go to dvrpodcast.com. You can become a patron at patreon.com/DVR. Until next time, peace out.